recording now. So this is an interview with Leti at her home. It is about 8 o'clock, is it? 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock in the evening in Miami. It's March 12th, 2008. And this is, again, an interview with Leti. And my name is Richard Ruiz. I'm a professor at the University of Arizona. And also in the interview is Beth DeFarber, who is at the University of Arizona Library. So let me start by first asking you to say yes or no. We have to do this formally to make sure that you consent to being interviewed and recorded.
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm interested first in a little bit of personal information with respect to your relationship to the program. And then I'll ask you a little bit about what you remember about the program. And then I'll ask you about some of the impressions or maybe the attitudes that you came out of the program with. So, first of all, with respect to some of the information about you as a student. So, what language or languages were spoken in your home when you were a student?
English and Spanish. At home, the elders spoke Spanish. My mom could speak English, and but I spent a lot of time with friends who spoke English.
Did this ratio of English and Spanish change at all as you went through the program? Do you remember that it was pretty constant?
Yeah.
So how did it change?
Before I started the program, I would tell you that I was mostly maybe 90% English and I would get by with 10% Spanish just to speak to my great-grandfather or any elders that were at home. But when I started when I went to the program, which was in fourth grade, the latter part of fourth grade, and it took me a while to adjust. So I would say it took me until like the latter part of fifth grade, but then I started to speak a lot more Spanish at home, and I had friends that I could communicate to in Spanish, which I didn't have that before I went to Coraway Elementary. So, yeah, that program really changed my language usage.
What about the language used by others around you in the home? Did that pretty much stay the same?
It probably increased, but not by much, because mm-hmm. I would have still had to speak Spanish mm-hmm. to my grandfather and stuff.
Okay. Can you tell me who your teachers were when you were at Coraway? Do you remember your teachers?
I remember Mrs. Sotolongo. I remember Mrs. Mikes. Mrs. Sanchez. And I'm not sure if there was a Mrs. Leon or if not. I don't know if I had.
And what years were you there at Coraway?
The last part of fourth grade, mm-hmm. fifth grade, and sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. So before that, you went to another school?
I went to Milam Elementary in Hialeah, which at the time had never seen it. I was the only Hispanic kid. As a matter of fact, we, you know, very few Hispanics in Hialeah at that time. It was very, very Anglo.
What about your student friends? Were they Spanish speakers, English speakers, both? How did that work?
In Coraway?
Yeah, when you were at Coraway.
When I got to Coraway, I was attracted to the English-speaking children. I hadn't... My whole behavior and culture was really more of an Anglo than a Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And so I hung around mostly with the Anglo children. And that changed as we progressed.
Really? How did that change?
When I got mainstreamed, because I would hung around the Anglo kids so much, when I got mainstreamed to where Spanish became like a main language for me to learn, I started hanging around with kids that that spoke more Spanish and had the more Spanish culture and the feel. Even if we spoke in English, our culture was very Hispanic, and things changed quite, you know, in my life.
What, was that true outside of school too, or just...
Yes.
So you had more friends like that outside of school?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, my long-lasting friends come from that era. Mm-hmm. And most of them are now Hispanics. Oh. Yeah, they're Spanish.
Do you remember how you were assigned to one group or another? You were assigned apparently to the English group, right?
I was assigned... I think I was one of those strange cases for the school when I got there, because I knew a little too much Spanish to be with the English-speaking children only, or main English. And I knew... And I didn't know enough Spanish in terms of being able to read and write it and absorb it quick enough to be with the Spanish-speaking children. So what they did is they actually put me in a class with English-speaking children. And it was wonderful, because what they did is they made me like their tutor. So I helped them with their reading and their language. And so it made me feel like I knew something that I... You know, so it encouraged me to get better.
So it was a bit like a peer tutor kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. That was right. Nice. The books were too simple for me, but at the same time, I was able to help them get through it. And so since it was the last part of fourth grade, I guess they didn't want to shake the boat there too much.
Okay. And let's see, I guess we can talk a little bit now about the classroom itself and how you experienced that classroom. Do you remember what the relationship was or the ratio was between Spanish and English use and how it was used in the classroom?
I don't recall a lot of it. I can tell you that always the Spanish teachers seemed stricter and harder for some reason. They always seemed like they were going to be tough, and you're going to interview one tomorrow, so I know she probably made the biggest impact on me in a good way, but she was a tough teacher, a real tough teacher. And the English-speaking teachers, and maybe it was just because it was so much easier for me. I really had to exert more effort to learn to do the Spanish stuff than I did the English. English is... I love the language. I love to write it. I love to read it. But, you know, so it took that extra effort to do things the same in Spanish. But nonetheless, I'm glad I did.
Hmm. But in terms of the relationships among the two languages in the class, in the classes, do you remember something about that?
I remember a switch. At least in sixth grade, I remember a switch because, you know, you'd be in... We were, like, in a big room where there was a partition. And there was one teacher on one side, if I recall correctly, and one teacher on the other side. And so you were... And you would learn your Spanish time with the Spanish teacher, and then you'd learn with the English teacher on the English side. But I can't quite remember, and because since I continued the program, I know that in Miami High, when I continued the program, I learned things like history and science in Spanish. But I'm not quite sure if I'm confusing that memory with the Coral Way memory, so I can't guarantee you, but it seems to me like I did remember learning maybe geography in Spanish or one of the other subjects in Spanish that you normally would learn in English. And so I do believe that there was like a split where maybe the ratio was 60-40 or 70-30. Mm-hmm. But it was a pretty good ratio where you got enough Spanish.
So you had a Spanish teacher who spoke only Spanish, and you had an English speaker who spoke only English, mm-hmm. right? So that's the way in which it was broken
yes.
up. Do you remember the materials, the textbooks or the other materials that you used, if they were also in Spanish and English, or if they were translated, or if they came that way as books? Do you remember anything like that?
No.
You remember reading in both languages?
Yes.
So what is it that you remember reading? Were they books that you were reading, or were they materials that were handed out? How do you remember?
I'm thinking that if the Spanish-speaking teacher was teaching us in Spanish, we had to be reading in Spanish as well. But I can't really now tell you that I remember a book per se, because like I said, since I continued the program, I know that in Miami High, which is a much shorter memory span than elementary school, I know that in Miami High, my history book was in Spanish. And it was intolerable. It was very difficult to read. Mm. But I don't remember that far back if the material or books that I was reading, but I know that I had homework in Spanish and I had plenty of things to write in Spanish, and I would just have to believe that I was reading something in Spanish and there had to be material in Spanish.
So you were reading and writing in both languages pretty much from the beginning, from the time that you started going there. Is that right?
Carlway? I don't remember. I remember reading in see, they had to have books, because I remember reading to the fourth graders the Spanish books and helping my American friends with their Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I do remember having something with materials in Spanish. Now, I don't know if they were just reading books, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I'm interested also in your family's relationship to the school. Do you remember if your parents were involved in any kind of on-school activities or school activities? Meetings, PTA meetings, or coming into the classroom, or anything like that?
No, it was very easy for parents just to let loose and let the kids do what they needed to do. And unless you were in trouble, your parents weren't in school. I mean, that's basically, I don't even remember a lot of open houses or PTA meetings per se. My mom worked two jobs, so it was very hard for her to go to any of that. Mm-hmm. But she embraced the fact that I was learning another language, definitely, and she never had any hesitation towards that at all.
Now, she embraced the fact that you were learning what other language? Are you talking about
Spanish?
Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Because when I was in Milam Elementary, everything was in English. There wasn't even one Spanish course at that time, so you didn't learn any Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's a nice attitude to have. Do you remember if there was very much interaction of, say, the local community around Coral Way on the school grounds? Sometimes, you know, they have open houses, or they have meetings of the community, other kinds of things that happen to make the community interact more with the school or with the students. Sometimes students put on concerts for people in the community. Anything like that? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember them doing a lot of that, honestly. But maybe it's just that I wasn't involved in that. But I don't remember. I don't even remember. Maybe, you know, on a 20 de Mayo, we might sing the Cuban hymn. I remember singing the Cuban hymn at something. So, you know, they did recognize that there were Hispanics there, but I don't think they made much of a big deal about it. It was natural, you know, to have this, like, melting pot. At least it was for me. I don't know about anybody else who experienced it. But like I said, for me, when I got there, and it was sort of a culture shock in the sense that I didn't understand my own culture, not the other culture, not the Anglo culture. That one was easy for me. It was the Hispanic culture that was not easy for me. And so I don't remember a lot of big events that we did, but I do know that you know, within your neighborhoods too, almost every child that you were associated with went to the same school. So,
mm-hmm. Do you remember, in terms of maybe some of the delivery of the instruction, if there was any use of technology, video, I guess they didn't have videos then, films or film strips, or
They use
anything
the,
of that sort.
You know, the whatchamacallit?
The overhead projector.
Overhead projectors all the time, yeah. Uh-huh. They used overhead projectors.
No, but no films or film strips or anything of that sort that you remember? No. Sometimes to illustrate or to get people a sense of, you know, cultural tradition or whatever, sometimes people use films, but sometimes they don't.
Yeah. I can't remember those films, honestly. I'm thinking back, but I can't remember. But somebody might have better
memory. How did you learn the Cuban hymn? Were the teachers just taught the hymn to the students? Is that the idea? Or?
You know, yeah, we learned I hope I'm not making it up, but I do remember singing. I know I didn't learn it at home, mm-hmm. because we weren't... My family moved here, and they felt that this was the better move. So they, and we were able to bring all our family. So I have a different condition than most Cubans that came here and left family behind and stuff like that. We brought all our family when we were very fortunate that way. So we weren't ones to sit there and drill on politics or anything like that. So I do remember singing the Cuban anthem at school, and it was probably taught to us because there were so much that represented probably the majority of the Hispanics, but I'm sure that by the same token they tried to represent other Hispanics, because my husband's Colombian and he went to the same school I did, so, and I don't think he ever felt misrepresented, but they always felt, I must say that even within the I can't talk for the Anglo, but I'm sure that for other Hispanics, they always felt overpowered by the Cuban sentiment, because it was a majority. It was a majority.
Let me ask you now about your impressions of the experience, and I'll ask just initially a kind of a general a question about how you feel about your participation. Or how you felt, then.
Okay.
If you can remember how you felt then about your participation in the program.
I felt proud. I really did. I mean, I thought I accomplished something I had never been challenged to do. It was frustrating and it was tough. I remember. I didn't want to learn in Spanish. I mean, it's not what you want to do. It was a harder thing to do and it wasn't always the easiest. No, it was not the easiest. But... I felt challenged, and I don't know, maybe back then we just weren't that demanding either. We accepted it. It's a curriculum, and you do what you're supposed to do. And that was our school, and if that's how they taught, that's how you learned. And that's it. I mean, I don't think we had a choice, and we certainly didn't, you know, couldn't voice it if we did. We did what we were supposed to do. But I took pride in what I did.
So do you feel as if the school helped in your development as a student, and maybe it would have been different if you had gone to, an all-English school? Can you imagine that?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, I feel like the school was the best thing that could have happened to me. Learning in two languages is incredible, and the not just the two languages, two cultures too. It helps you to be very diverse and very tolerant, and it's a great experience. I think, you know, whether it's Spanish, French, Chinese, Japanese, whatever you choose, but I don't think we should be stuck to one language. I think it's wrong, you know, to just learn one language. I wish I had learned more. I really do.
You said something about being frustrating and so on. Do you remember, can you remember what the most enjoyable and also the least enjoyable experiences that you had, the kinds of experiences that were least enjoyable and most enjoyable?
When you're a kid and you have to go to school, there's a lot of non-enjoyable things, you know. But I was always, I have always loved to be challenged, and I rose to the occasion. So, you know, having to learn the Spanish fully, you know, that was challenging to me. But the more I did it, the better I got, the better I felt about myself. The fact that they mainstreamed me from fifth to sixth grade, and I was now considered Spanish, you know, as a main, where I was put with the Hispanic kids, to me that was a reward. Huh. You know, it said something, and I felt very proud of that. I loved the school. I loved the teachers there. I they were tough like in any other school. I have children now, and they've been through school, and they've had some good teachers, they've had some bad teachers. I can say I had some pretty good teachers, both on the English and the Spanish.
Do you remember attending any extracurricular or after-school kinds of activities?
I was a patrol.
You were a patrol?
A patrol, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What did that? What was? Oh, that was for the. You mean for like the?
Yeah, for the traveling.
Street?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Another one of those things you feel proud of, you know. Mm-hmm. You get to tell people when to cross the street when they're not allowed. Except my husband never paid attention and just did what he wanted to. But no, I was a patrol. Other than that, we'd go home and we'd create our own activities, you know. And there was plenty of homework and stuff to do. I mean, one of my very good friends, who was American, Linda, and I would sit and do homework after school. And we'd create our own extracurriculum. Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering whether there were things like, I don't know, Spanish club, chess club.
Mm-mm. No.
Nothing like that.
Not that I can recall.
Mm.
Mm-mm. No.
That's often sometimes a big part of what, you know, children like in school is the kind of extra things that they do outside of school. Yeah. Or sports.
I don't remember.
Did they have any sports?
We had a great PE teacher. I can remember him. He was tall as can be, Mr. Epperson. How can you forget? But you know, I don't remember. My husband has every award, every presidential award that known to man when it came to the athletic program there. But beyond, you know, the presidential, you know, training for the presidential back then, because I don't even know if they have that anymore. But other than training for that and doing that, those meets, there really wasn't any other, I don't remember, sport. But I don't think many elementary schools have sports activities either.
So I assume from what you said before that you can read and write in both languages?
In both languages, absolutely.
And that you attribute that to having gone to Coral Way?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it was not for Coral Way, I probably would have never ventured that to go there, to do that.
So
I believe.
Mm-hmm. You're not a teacher, but
no.
And you're not in that profession, but do you have any opinions about this model that is used at Coral Way, this two-language model, and the way in which they organize it for instruction? Do you think it's a good thing, or do you have any ideas of how it could be made better, or?
I'll tell you what, my oldest daughter, who is 31 years old now, went through the whole curriculum from kindergarten through sixth grade. Was it fifth grade then? Might have finished in fifth or sixth, I don't know. Because I can't remember. Let's see. Because she went to Shenandoah sixth and seventh, yeah. And I pulled her out for eighth. Okay, so maybe fifth grade. And she learned the same way. And she's totally fluent, English and Spanish. Now, did she love it? No. Did she want to learn it? Not at the time. But if you ask her today, she will tell you that, you know, it's so important. Now, obviously, if you're a child that is challenged educationally, that can be hard. Because now, you know, it's always easier in the language of comfort. In my case, and I'm sure in many children's case, because we live in the United States, our language of comfort is English. We're comfortable reading it, we're comfortable speaking it, but so it makes it, you have to put that extra effort to learn in English. Now, if you're challenged educationally, you have a difficult time learning, I don't know that the bilingual program is right for you. Because you have, some kids need to learn in just one language and absorb it and get the information and be able to move with it. And some kids, you know, need that in order to be able to move on academically. So I don't believe it's for everyone, but if your child can do that, I think the benefits are awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's great benefits to gain from that.
Great. If anything occurs to you that we haven't touched on or I haven't thought about asking you about, you can either tell me now or you can communicate with us later. But for now, that's really all the questions I have. I don't know if you have anything else that you'd like to say.
Well, I'll probably want to tell you that I chose to continue the bilingual program. So beyond Coral Way, when you got to Shenandoah, you could either choose to stay in or choose out. I chose in. When I went to Miami High, it was the same thing. You could choose in or you could choose out. I chose in. Hmm. So that's, you know, that's the kind of, that's what the impact of Coral Way Elementary did for me, you know. And here was a total gringuita, as I call myself, walking into a school where, like I said, culture shock, differences of people, and the, you know, it was more not the language, because I understood the language. It was the culture that I didn't understand, and that I got to appreciate ever so more because we moved to where we did, and because I went to Coral Way, and because I met the people I did, and made the relationships I did. And from Coral Way and Shenandoah, probably I still have a big pool of good friends all scattered all over the United States, but that are there. Well.
One of the things that we are trying to do is to track down some of those, okay, some of those people. So if you have names either now or names later that we can perhaps call or contact, we're willing to go almost anywhere to find, okay, these folks. So it doesn't matter where they are, if they're local or if they're somewhere else.
Okay.
That would be great. And we'll leave you contact information for us. You know how to get a hold of us anyway.
Sure.
And
I gave you Tony Asiones. And he is in North Carolina. He has now been promoted to executive director for a program called El Pueblo. He's another one that was he worked in a gang unit over in Denver. He's done a lot. He's very, very, very adventurous. Someone you probably want to speak to on that subject. And then on the American Anglo side, I'll get you Danny Levinson's email address so that you can send that to him. I spoke to someone today, but he went through the program briefly and 1 year behind me in trying to get, I thought I would surprise you guys and get you Mrs. Sanchez's contact info, but I didn't. You guys already had it. But Justo Luis Pozo, who's in Miami, is also, I'll ask if he wants to participate. Let's see, who else do I know? I know some of them are just from Shenandoah, but I will continue checking around because you know how it is. One person tells another person, and little by little, you can get a chain started and you can get a nice group of people. But for right now, you have Maria, Andreu, and I've contacted some other people, but they actually went to Shenandoah and not to Coral Way. Mm-hmm.
Great. Great. That would be great. And also, if you have any more of the, if you find any more of the memorabilia or whatever, that would be great
too. Okay.
The other thing we should tell you is that these are going to be inventoried and stored in such a way that people can get a hold of them. Researchers who are interested in knowing more about the history or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they'll be available through the library.
Okay.
But they'll also be available, we're working with the South Florida Historical Museum here in town.
Okay.
So that they can also have access here more locally. One of the things we found is that, in fact, they have, as far as we can tell, nothing on Coral Way. They don't even have a file on the school. They have files on a lot, I don't know if all, but they have files on a lot of the schools in Miami, but they don't even have a file on Coral Way. So we're going to start to see if we can
develop some of
that.
Peculiar that something as big as that almost looks like it was shoved under a rug so that it wouldn't make too much noise or something.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but we'll try to see if we can start to develop some of that.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for your
for your
attention. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is an interview again at Leti's house. It's March 12th, 2008, and it's about 7:40 in the evening. My name is Richard Ruiz. I'm the one of the principal investigators for this Coral Way project, and Bess DeFarber, the other principal investigator, is also in the room. And so what I'd like you to do now is say your name into the record so that we can make sure.
My name is Leticia Lopez.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you were a parent of a student at Coral Way.
Yes.
Is that right? Or two students.
I had
three children. How many children?
I have three children, but I don't remember.
Yes.
Did Orlando go to Coral Way?
Yes, he did.
I know you did, and I know Felix did, my youngest son.
Yeah, Orlando did too.
Can I ask you about the relationship between the people in the family with respect to language? What were the languages, or what was the language that was spoken in the home?
Okay, in my house, due to the fact that my grandfather was living with us, he didn't speak English. My husband understood a little bit, but was in the process of learning. I was the only one that spoke English because I came to school here in the United States. So I would say that 90% of the time we spoke Spanish. It was easier for me to communicate with the children in English. Because of the fact they were going to school, so it was, you know.
So when you spoke to the children, was it mostly in Spanish, in English, but sometimes in Spanish? Or
I would say that most of the time it was Spanish, because if it was a conversation with them alone, I might jump into English. But if it was a conversation that other people in my family were there, I didn't want them to feel that I didn't want them to know what I was telling the children. So we spoke Spanish. I thought it was, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, as they went through the program, if that changed? In other words, if you started speaking to them more in one language than another, or if it stayed pretty much the same
throughout
the whole time?
Well, I would say that I spoke Spanish more often than I spoke English.
But that never changed over time? It was basically the same?
Well, nowadays I would say that I'm speaking English most of the time because it changed the pattern. So when my daughter became a mother, the children will understand English better. Her husband understood English perfectly well because he went to school with her. So, you know, it depends on who was around.
What about other kinds of things in the home? Reading materials, books, magazines, TV or radio in one language or another. Do you remember that?
TV was always in English. Reading, I would say in both languages, whatever the book that was recommended language came in, so I could say both. That, I'm talking about myself. My children preferred the English language. It was...
Do you remember if your children could read in Spanish before they went to school?
No, because they were 5 and 6 when we came in 1960. So, no. They didn't go to school in Cuba. So the first school they went was in the United States. And the school they attended didn't have the Coraway program.
The first school that they attended.
The first school. It was in Hialeah, and it was just English.
But after, so after they started going to Coral Way, they had some, at least some homework or other kinds of things that they started reading.
Yeah, and I appreciate it so much. You know, I really wanted my children to keep the language of their ancestors. And because I believe that as many languages as you learn, the better, the more educated. You know, I wish they could speak 3 or 4 languages, not just 2. But at least they speak and read in Spanish.
When they went to Coral Way, they were placed in either the Spanish group or the English group, I think. And do you remember that or not?
What I remember is that I attended 2. In other words, they never left the English classes. They only have... one class in Spanish, but you know, we're talking about a few years back.
Do you remember if they were tested in terms of their language proficiency to find out where or how they might be placed?
I believe so.
Okay, and did anybody ever ask you about that placement or anything of that sort from the school? Did they come and ask where should we place your daughter, or what is your language?
I don't remember.
No,
I don't remember.
Okay. Do you remember being involved in any kind of activities in the school?
Very little, like some PTA, something like that. Yes, you know, some kind of some kind of shindy with the school. I will attend, but.
Were you ever invited to come to the school by a teacher or the principal? Or
not really, no. Not that I remember, to be honest with you. It was such a long time ago.
Do you remember the teachers that your children had? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
So there was relatively little contact between the
at that time, yes. At that time, yes.
Do you remember if there was very much, or if there were any activities between the school and the community that sometimes would happen? Maybe an open house or some kind of information meeting?
I believe they always had the open house, yeah.
Did you ever attend any of these?
Yes.
Okay. What about your own interaction with any of the administrators or any of the staff of the school? Did that any of that
not really happen? Because usually the schools call on parents either to tell them that their children are brilliant or they're not doing their homework. I was not in that position. So my children were good, you know, good grades, but I mean they weren't genius or anything like that. So at that time the school didn't keep that contact that they keep nowadays.
Yeah, it's a very different thing now.
Yes, it
people
is.
People feel as if that's a very important
thing. It is.
Thing. So tell me, these last few questions have to do with your impressions and your attitudes about this experience of the school that your children had. How do you feel, or how did you feel at the time about your children's participation in this kind of program?
I was very, oh yeah, I love it. You know, I really, I was very, very happy and very excited because, you know, that give my children the opportunity not only to speak the language, but to spelling and, you know, God, sometimes the verbs, you know, some of that. So I really, really appreciate it. I thought it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I understand the... improving that to even more nowadays. You know, I was very happy with the school. And every time I hear somebody speaking about the school, they say nothing but the best. Mm-hmm. I have a friend whose granddaughter is attending the school, and she said she has improved so much, and she's attending that program. And they're very happy with the school.
You talked about the language and that being very important too. Was it ever important for you that they know something about their culture or their identity or any of that
extremely
sort?
Extremely important. Mm-hmm. You know, those are the roots. And you should never forget your roots. You know. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that was then. So you still have the same
opinion
and attitude about the school and about their participation in
nothing
that
but
and
the
all
best.
That.
To be honest, nothing but the best with that school.
The school, as you know, because you lived through it, is a school that uses two languages to teach children. Mm-hmm. How do you feel generally about that kind of model for teaching children?
I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic.
Do you think it's a model that can be used generally in schools, or is it just for a particular population of students?
I really wish it would be taken by every school, mm-hmm. you know, because there's such a big population of Spanish people, and we have so much contact with the Spanish people. You know, maybe even more than European people. And it's very important that they understand the language and that they can fluently speak it. You know, that's the way I feel.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I asked your daughter was what she enjoyed about the experience. And I'd like to ask that of you as a parent, too. Was there any direct contact to the point where you enjoyed some kind of experience in the school or through your children, if you enjoyed something?
I was very happy
things?
All the time they were in that school. Very, very happy. Extremely happy. Everybody was so good. The programs, the men that used to help the children going back and forth, you know, he was fantastic. I mean, I really was so happy with the school, and I believe that my daughter couldn't be working where she works if she wouldn't have been able to do the you know, to progress in Spanish. She works in a Spanish newspaper. Mm-hmm. You know, if she didn't have that fluently Spanish, she wouldn't be working. She wouldn't be able to work there.
Mm-hmm. So there was nothing that you didn't find enjoyable. That wasn't.
Oh, nothing,
there was
nothing,
a problem.
Nothing. Everything
or whatever.
Was fantastic. I was very happy with the school. Mm-hmm. Very, very happy. We live very close to the school, so she could walk back and forth. Like I say, the supervision with the kids. The whole program, the teacher, everything was fantastic about that school.
If there's anything else that you can think of, either now or later, we will leave you our contact so that you can, you know, you can let us know or whatever. If anything else occurs to you that you didn't say that you think might be important for us to know about, please let us know. And if there are other people that you can think of, whether parents or students or whatever, that we haven't already kind of gotten contact for, we'd appreciate it if if you could let us know.
I really think that that program should be mandatory. You know. I mean, what harm could it do? Tell me. I mean, if I have one, what harm could it do? And so much good. So it should be available to... See, I have another couple of grandchildren that didn't have that advantage. And, you know, I'm always... I'm one of them. He's already 16 years old. And when the children are not prepared for that, they feel embarrassed. They understand because they hear so much Spanish in the family. But it's like the lips are closed because they don't want to make a mistake. They don't want people to laugh at them. Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know. So why shouldn't that be in every school when we have so much population of Spanish people? And I'm sure that every parent will be very happy if their children could take that type of program, every one of them.
Well, thank you very much for the
interview.
Thank you.